Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ballgame. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
Well, the postseason and football for the first time in 8 years, making it truly a merry atmosphere for Indiana U this month of December. Kevin Wilson's Hoosiers playing Duke in the new era Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium a week from Saturday. It's our final show of 2015, complete tonight with the Bucket and Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, as we go behind the scenes with Fred, brought to you in part by the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics at Indiana University. And only fitting here, prior to the holidays, that we have Fred on board as the football Hoosiers gear for the school's 10th bowl appearance on December 26th in New York City. Wonderful story evolving in season number 5 for Coach Kevin, his staff and players, and the goal very simple on the 26th, win. And we'll have our IU Athletics update on all of our teams here as we wrap up December. December's Department and Employee Spotlight, the Fred Glass Honor Roll coming up. Hey, the Bucket is here, so it's available for holiday pictures. So if you're out and about in the neighborhood or within the bar itself here, come on over and say hello to our permanent resident that has joined us now for 3 consecutive years. And we were thinking about getting some candy stripe pants to perhaps outfit it, but we kind of like the rustic look that we have grown accustomed to sitting right here in front of Fred and yours truly. A little bit later, more Hoosier football with coordinators Kevin Johns and Brian Knorr taking us through a two-game winning run to the Old Oaken Bucket and this bowl that we're playing for and what lies ahead with the Duke Blue Devils. It's festive tonight. The Hoosiers are bowl-bound as we welcome you to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's along with producer Jim Ritter, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanna and Mike Glasscott, and all of our sponsors. Hi again, everyone, and welcome to our final show of 2015. But as I say, this one couldn't be any better, Fred, because we are bowl-bound, and first time that's happened in a number of years. And what a testament to the kids, and your thoughts and comments as we play a little postseason football for a change, huh?
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head there, Joe. It's about the kids. You know, these guys have fought so hard, especially these seniors, you know, that came here, really Kevin's first full recruiting class, and to see them get rewarded for all the hard work and a really great play and, you know, coming close and finally kind of knocking the door down and getting bowl eligible.
How big, simple question, but how big is this for IU Athletics?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, on the one hand, you know, it's 6-6. You know, we're not a winning season yet. One bowl game in a 5-year tenure. You know, we would hope to have more. And shoot, I think we were a bowl team at least 2 more of those years. You know, the ball bounces one way or the other. So I don't want to get too carried away and say this is the ultimate goal, because I think our best days are ahead of us in the Wilson era. But To get rewarded, to be bowl eligible, to have those extra practices, to have the chance to be a bowl champion, it's a big, big deal, because winning changes everything. It changes the perspective on everything. The students who play football, the coaches, the recruits, and even Hoosier Nation itself. So, yeah, it's a big, big deal. I think we were proud of our Hoosiers when they came close and went toe-to-toe with 4 of the top 10 teams in the country, but it sure is good to close with those road wins and end up being bowl eligible.
Well, I tell you, it's a great situation to be in, obviously, and a lot of preparation has taken place. I know just last week you hopped a plane, took the red eye backwards, if you will. You left bright and early in the a.m. to go to New York City, where the big press conference was held. Soon after, Indiana accepted the bid to the new era Pinstripe Bowl. You, Kevin, Jeff Keg was on board, a few other folks representing Indiana University. How were we received out in NYC when you went up there last week?
Well, it was great. It was great to be there with Kevin, you know, and walk the field, you know, walk on Yankee Stadium, where so many great players have played so many different sports and eras and so forth. So that was great, and we were hailed as conquering heroes. The Yankees are first class all the way, man, and they know how to take care of people. They know how to put on a show. They know how to host major events. And so a really, really big plus of this whole opportunity to play in the Pinstripe Bowl is to interact with a professional staff that does this year-round, and they know what they're doing. And so far it's been very, very smooth. And I'm really proud of our staff. We've gotten great marks. As you know, John Mosley, former Notre Dame great and a Pinstripe Bowl leader, was here with a couple of his compadres and brought the Pinstripe Trophy. And we had our staff set up a day for them, and he said it's the best day they've ever had on any site visit, anywhere they've gone. And, you know, that's what we want to hear. We want to get the gold star. We want to be the best partner that they've had, and I think we're off to a great start.
And Zach Shaw was very careful on how he carried that out to the hardwood during halftime of the basketball game the other night, as was the case when Nate Sutfeld walked out with the old oaken bucket the previous home game. And I tell you, the students, the entire community, Indiana University, just so proud of this entire football team.
That's clearly the case, and the outpouring of support has been awesome, and it is. I liked your description of maybe the bucket taking up permanent residence here, and we've got it you know, right in front of us with the three eyes cascading out the front. First time we've done that in almost 70 years. So a lot of firsts, you know, first bowl game in a lot of years, only the second about 20 years. First time in 70 years to beat the Boilers back-to-back-to-back. It's really sweet doing it on their home field for number three. And, you know, Kevin's got these guys going the right way, and I'm just really pleased and really thankful to the fans for the way they've supported this team.
You know, we talk about the, well, I guess if you're going to be away from home for Christmas, family-wise, it's going to be a family affair in New York City, and what better, I can't think of a better a city to be in the entire world. I've been to, not the worldwide to a lot of great cities, but I have been to New York. I think this will be my 11th trip, but New York City in Christmas time, that's so very special. But, you know, that being said, so many moving parts for you in your preparation, your crew, the department, coordinating, well, from everything from travel arrangements, getting the band ready, the staff, let alone the football team, but the university officials, you know, promoting ticket sales. There's a lot on your plate here, and has been since you got back from New York, and really from day one since we accepted the bid.
Joe, you're right. I mean, it's been kind of all-consuming, which is great. You know, it's the kind of demands that you want to have. But I've really got to tip my hat to the university community, because we really view this as a university opportunity, not a football program opportunity only, not a Department of Athletics opportunity only. It's a university-wide opportunity. And so the university has a committee in place, a postseason committee in place that's chaired by J.T. Forbes, our very able leader of the IU Alumni Association. It has representatives from all over campus, people who represent the president's office and the trustees and so forth. So we can really maximize this opportunity in terms of development, in terms of admissions and you know, government relations and all the different aspects of the university. But a lot of it comes down to athletics, and you're moving a big load. You know, you got all these players to go and coaches and dealing with their families at Christmas and all that. So it's a great, great challenge to have. And thanks to the university's prior planning, I think we're in really good shape to execute a great trip to New York.
Well, and that's what I'm hearing. And, you know, you did your part, too, trying to get. It's one thing getting out there, especially this time of year, and on relatively short notice. We accepted the bowl bid, the first available date, the first Sunday this month of December, and really only eight days have gone by. But you made a nice move relevant to getting the students out there, Fred, with absorbing some of the ticket cost and the university department of athletics taking care of the a good chunk of the freight for a ticket. That was great. And how's that response been?
That response has been great, and I appreciate you mentioning that, because we just never want to forget to keep our students in the forefront. And we try to do that with our student-athletes, and we try to do that with the general student body as well. So as you mentioned, even though we pay $55 per ticket, we're making those available to the students at 10, eating that 45 differential, and I'd like to eat that all day long to have as many students come as possible. And so we've already had a lot of students take advantage of that. We think we may have more students take advantage of that are in the Eastern Seaboard, particularly the New York area. A couple of my son's goofs are leaving their Christmas table on Christmas night. They're going to drive all night to get to New York, and I'm glad those aren't my kids. But I hope more kids do that in a safe way, and they can buy $10 tickets and come to the game.
Well, I tell you one thing: we've got a great fan base out there, and there's we rely a lot on social media these days, and you've seen the volume of interest that has been stoked by former IU alums that live in a 3-4 state area out that way, that's going to be there in numbers. This should be a partisan, Indiana crowd come the 26th.
Yeah, I hope so, and I think it really can be. And you and I've seen, whether it's the Barclays Center or Madison Square Garden, yeah, the way IU fans turn out. I think it's a great opportunity for us. I am sympathetic to families and others who have challenges because it's the day after Christmas. And I think, the Pinstripe Bowl's never been on the day after Christmas. It's always been the 29th or the 30th. And so I think that's created some inherent challenges for us in terms of our people coming. And I'm very sympathetic to that and get that. And frankly, that was one of the balancing factors with the Pinstripe Bowl in terms of maybe not being 100%, what our fans were looking for. But our big thing on bowls is to try to make sure one of the 5-7 teams didn't leapfrog us,
yeah,
and push us down into some places where I think our fans really wouldn't have had as good an experience. And so whether it was New York or Santa Clara or Nashville or Jacksonville, that's the strat in which we belonged, and I'm really glad we were able to take one of those games.
And it was a nice fit. I know you had those options, and you went and discussed about that. You and I talked about that when we were on a basketball road trip, and it just seemed like a nice fit. And when they approached, we said yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a great opportunity. I want our fans to know that I understand that for some of them it's a real challenge the day after Christmas, and that's unfortunate. That's keeping some of our fans away. I feel badly about that. But I think there's some counterbalancing pieces that made it make sense for us to go out there. I think Hoosier Nation will turn out and have a great show. I think probably the Pinstripe Bowl traded a little bit maybe a better spot for a very high-profile TV slot. And that'll be good for us, too.
Yeah.
So we play on ABC
only bowl
at
of the
3:30.
Day,
only bowl of the day. It'll be huge exposure for us. And so if our fans can't make it out to New York, I hope they watch the game or have watch parties or come here to Yogi's. I'm sure it'll be on all the screens.
Well, it will be indeed. And obviously, Kevin, happy to play 13, but that's not the object. The object is to win this bowl game and to have a winning season. The recruiting trail has been just on fire since the bowl bid was accepted by Indiana U, and all kind of great positive fallout relevant to pre. And we'll continue on with our discussion about this bowl. We have the department in the spotlight, kind of bowl related. We'll keep on that subject. Plus, we got a lot to cover with all of our Indiana University sports, the men and women. We had again a great number of academic All Big Ten honors dished out for our fall sports athletes. Just some of the things that we will continue to discuss as we go behind the scenes with Vice President and Director of Athletics at Indiana U, Fred Glass. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, along with our producer. One of them just showed up, Joanna Glascott. Always does a great job. Happy holidays. Pete Curran, Mike Glascott, and our man that flips the switches downtown Bloomington at One City Center, Jim Ritter. Happy holidays from everyone here, staff and management of Yogi's. And again, if you haven't, they've been doing this now well over a month, always open at 10 o'clock on the weekends now for breakfast. Fred, I thought we'd continue our bowl theme before we get to basketball. And we had a nice honor to one of our wrestlers here late this afternoon. Women's basketball is doing awfully well, swimming and diving. Let's stay with our bowl theme. And I know you've got some people to talk about because this just doesn't happen. And you kind of generically talked about the number of people involved. But now let's kind of try to put some names to the people behind the scenes that have been responsible that are shining in your December spotlight.
Joe, are we doing Department of the Spotlight now?
Well, we'll do it now.
You're kinky. You're like, yeah, mixing up on me.
Yeah, we'll throw you a curve
like
once
that.
In a while.
Right, good. Well, I would like to segue from talking to the Bowl about the Bowl folks to our Department of the Spotlight, because I think They're clearly the department we ought to highlight because the bowl committee is working like crazy. Deputy Dog Scott Dolson is the leader of the pack, but Scott Jernstead on the money side, Billy Ray Johnson on the football side. I could really go on and on about all the people involved in that. In fact, there's hardly anybody in the department that's not working on the bowl process right now. Earlston Bean on the events piece. So they do a great job. Jeremy Gray with our media partners, Chris Fowler, making sure we're in compliance and don't get in any trouble. Maddie White, AT, the whole group is involved. And like I said, they're interacting a lot with their counterparts on campus. So it's a really good integration piece with the Alumni Association, the President's Office, the trustees, and so forth. And, you know, no detail is too small. We had to approve the setup in the end zones, what the Indiana was going to look like. And we went with the traditional bold. I think our fans will like that.
Okay.
So a huge undertaking. Like I said, too, the Yankees, I think, have been real impressed with our approach. We've gotten a lot of accolades from those organizations who see a lot of people come in and out of Yankee Stadium. So that's a plus. Transportation, feeding people, entertainment, being sensitive that people are away from their families in New York over the holidays and dealing with all that stuff. So it's awesome, awesome, awesome. And the person that can I do employee in the spotlight now, John?
Well, you can do anything you want.
So the employee of the spotlight, this is actually an easy one because Becky Panny, former IU field hockey player, and has been in the department since she graduated from IU. She is a force of nature. She gets things done. No task is too big or small. Keeps us on track. Cracks the whip. And does it with a smile on her face and a collegial approach. So there's no one who is contributing more on the administrative side to a successful bowl experience than Becky Panny, and she is my employee in the spotlight.
Well, and well deserved, and you know, she's been with us on road trips and basketball, and been with us all season long, obviously, in football, and richly deserves that recognition. And you know, it's one thing to be to have everything and so many people on the same page, because I heard that the bowl manual itself is well over 70 pages. I mean, this is an undertaking in a two-week span, really, now entering its second full week, going to week three since the announcement of the acceptance of the bowl. And it's a whole different game, isn't it, than preparing for a football season that you would probably start in June, July, and get ready for August.
It really is, Joe. I mean, it's fun, you know, because we kind of drop everything. We got a small window, and, you know, there's not a lot of time for analysis paralysis. We just have to jump in and get things done. And like I said before, the previous planning with the Alumni Association, the foundation, and Dan Smith and his good folks over there, the trustees, the president's office, and athletics, football program, has really made this a lot easier because we thought through our committee assignments. We thought through who was going to be doing what. We really tried to pre-address all these issues so that we're very well prepared to execute this in a positive way.
Well, to date, it has been executed in a very positive manner, and looking forward to the Hoosier Football Nation making the exodus out of Bloomington. Football team will be leaving on Monday. There will be a bunch going then. Another plane will be leaving on Wednesday, taking the rest of the best out to NYC and celebrating Christmas and, of course, the New Era Pinstripe Bowl in New York City. Again, as Fred mentioned, only bowl of the day right here on the big screens at Yogi's, ABC, 3:30 on December the 26th. Before we leave football, and we had a lot, again, and we go through this, and we look at how important off the field is with Kevin and how he has done things running his football program, 18 of our players earning all-academic Big Ten honors in football. Fred, I know you're proud of those guys.
Sure am, Joe. And the accolades just keep, you know, coming in. We had 12 all-Big Ten honorees, the academic folks that you just mentioned, you know, all-American accolades are continuing to come in. I mean, our boys are running with the big dogs nationally, and that's a great tribute to this program, recruiting, development, coaching, And I'm really excited these kids are getting some richly deserved recognition.
You know, and there's a lot of guys, obviously. It's not a smallish team, obviously. You're talking about a major college Big Ten football team. And this program is has set already a mark with 111 award winners in Coach Kevin's five seasons to date and counting. You know, we talk about our student athletes and 80 total earning fall academic All-Big Ten honors as we go back to which was a very consistent winning season across the board for the most part. And we're talking about 3.0 or better in the classroom for all of our programs.
Right, right. And, yeah, the academics have been really strong. And football, you know, while we're talking about it, it's really led the way. Kevin's had more All-Big Ten academic honorees in his 5 years in any five-year period in the history of the program. So, you know, excellence isn't compartmentalized. If you're going to be great on the team, you can't be a schmo in the classroom. And Kevin gets that, and he's one of our very best at demanding academic excellence from our students.
We had a couple of student athletes that do deserve a little mention. Nikki Zuckerman and playing on Amy Burberry's soccer team, and Bobby Browning, who ran cross country for Ron Helmer, earning special recognition for an unblemished cumulative grade point average. So outstanding to those two student athletes. Had some good news on your Fred Glass honor roll. A young man out of Alexandria, Indiana. His name's Luke Blanton. Wrestles at 149. How about the start that the wrestling team's off to with that humongous win they had at Minnesota the other night?
Huh? Yeah, we were with Patty and Dwayne Golden last night, and a special smile on their faces. You know, it's been like 50 years or something since we beat Minnesota. I mean, literally. I think 50 years. So that's a great thing. And, boy, this is a young team, young kids. And for them to taste success early like that against a team that, you know, we hadn't beaten in practically my lifetime is really a terrific start.
Well, no question. And, again, Luke Blanton is the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week, his first career weekly award. And the Hoosiers will be out in Reno, Nevada for the Tournament of Champions. But, boy, what a big, big win that was for Dwayne Goldman and the Indiana wrestlers. Well, the rest of the best, and we have a relatively huge basketball game that's always well attended. It's the Crossroads Classic. At Bankers Life, Fred, and the Hoosiers will certainly get a test against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame come Saturday.
Yeah, sure will. Notre Dame's a really strong team, great opportunity for our guys, and a great venue. You know, Assembly Hall is a big deal, but you go to a neutral site with kind of bright lights and a different feel. And so I think it'll be good, and it'll be a even though it's in an arena as opposed to a stadium, I think it'll be a postseason-like feel and give these kids a taste of what that's like. Of course, for all kinds of postseason play. So looking forward to that. As you know, Joe, there's a few things I like to do more than beat Notre Dame. And so when we have a great chance to beat Notre Dame in a very public way, I take that as a great opportunity.
Well, and especially on the heels of beating them soundly for the Old Oaken Bucket. Again, if you're out in the neighborhood tonight, drop on in to Yogi's. Have your picture taken with the Old Oaken Bucket as we salute Coach Kevin Wilson and the Hoosiers as they embark upon leaving for the school's 10th overall bowl in its history. Hey, I tell you what, the women are going down to Florida, and we're talking about Terry Moore's crew. But, boy, they're building their resume. Quality wins already, 7-2, and an exciting basketball team that Coach Terry is putting together.
They are. I encourage your listeners to come out and see them play. They really know what they're doing in that Chattanooga game where they're playing a nationally ranked team. And just the way they were moving with and without the ball, I think would warm most Hoosiers' hearts. And this is a great team, great chemistry, and a whole lot of fun to watch. They got some tough games coming up before they head into Big Ten play, and would really appreciate everybody coming out and supporting them. And, you know, before we leave men's basketball too much, Joe, I know we're going up to play Notre Dame. We've had, you know, some games here lately, and sometimes people are skeptical of the quality of some of the opponents, but you know, you hold anybody to 60 points, 29 in the second half, and whoop them 105-60. I mean, they're doing something right, and Yogi's being recognized for that. I think Troy was somebody's national player.
CBS.
Yeah. And, those guys are resilient. They're bouncing back. They've had some early season adversity, but I hope Hoosier Nation rallies around Tom and these kids got Indiana across their chest as they continue to work to get better. They're not looking back or mailing it in. My eyes see them getting better and better and more focused. So good on them, and we'll see what happens on Saturday. And let's get behind them and sort of steamroll into Big Ten play.
Well, one thing that has been ironed out, hopefully, deficiencies defensively, and boy, they've been locked tight the last three games. And again, it'll be a big test against Notre Dame, but certainly right behind what Fred had to say relevant to the basketball program. Again, 2 o'clock at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. It'll be on the big screen here if you can't make it up on ESPN. And how about that Lily King, a young lady, just a freshman, and all she did was take care and made some waves literally the other day in the Winter National Championship, and Cody Miller doing well. So we have some swimmers and divers that Ray and Drew have put together that will make for an exciting rest of the winter.
Yeah, those are two of our very best coaches, innovators, and do a great job developing these kids, and they've had a real successful non-intercollegiate season, if you will, national championships, American records, beating world record holders in the pool. So we're excited about what that portends, and I think swimming and diving's back at Indiana University.
Well, we'll wrap it up for December, and still our football theme continuing as we see both coordinators have arrived, Brian Knorr and Kevin Johns, and we're just getting started talking about what's in front of Coach Kevin Wilson and the football Hoosiers. We have the Old Oaken Bucket with us as well. Come on in, have your picture taken. We'll talk more with Brian and also with Kevin. And we'll see you in January, Sir Fred. We'll see you next week on the plane to go to the Big Apple and get us a W and usher in the new year of 2016.
Sounds like a plan, Joe. It's always good to be with you.
Fred Glass joining us, going behind the scenes. And when we come back, we'll talk more Indiana football. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Corner of 10th and Indiana, Yogi's Grill and Bar. It's our final show of 2015. We'll be involved with the football team in New York City next week. And then back on the basketball road with the Hoosiers as they embark upon the Big Ten. But taking time out of what has been a hectic but a very pleasant December, the two coordinators under Coach Kevin Wilson, Kevin Johns, and Brian Knorr joining us offensively, defensively, and they're both going to talk simultaneously here as we're just going to have a little conversation. But, guys, first of all, thanks for coming in, and, just what a shot in the arm to a bunch of kids from day one in this fifth year, Kevin, that have paid the price, worked their tails off, and now we're seeing rewards just almost come out every day, and at the end of the rainbow is a bucket game to go and win.
It really is, and it's a great time right now to be a Hoosier. We're so fired up and so proud of our guys. They fought so hard, not only this year, but really, like you said, the last 4 or 5 years of just giving everything they've had. They've completely bought into what Coach Wilson, the direction he's put with this program. We talk about it's a resilient bunch, that we've had some games this year where we were close, some big wins that we could have had that we didn't. But each week those kids came back to work Tuesday and Wednesday at practice. They laid it on the line on game day, and it was fun to beat Purdue and get ourselves bowl eligible, and certainly fired up for our seniors, and they deserve it.
Well, no question. What a great bunch of young men, and we'll talk about some of them here in a bit. And Brian, your second season coming to an end, and here you sit with the bowl. And obviously, I know that going way back, even when you played collegiately out at Air Force, you had the bowl experience. And then here recently, not many years ago at Wake Forest, and just what does that playing that extra game, having that reward after success, what does that mean, and how have you seen it just really pump up the atmosphere for Indiana University football?
Well, I think no question what Kevin said, especially our seniors, what they've done in the over these past 6-8 weeks, their leadership, their guidance. But I think the biggest thing right now for us is our young kids, the guys that have been redshirted, the guys that are the developmental practice. We're probably going to have close to 12 to 15 extra practices, almost a whole extra spring ball for our young guys from a developmental standpoint.
Yeah, and Kevin, that's so important. And you know, the experience too. You know, Kevin, you've been with him since day one, but you had the same experience coaching in Bulls for many years. I think this is going to be your first since 2011. But the familiarity of the staff during a process that is jam tight. I mean, we've got a lot going on here. I mean, you guys were on the road. You just got back from recruiting. We've got practices. We got finals, and we got an opponent. Oh yes, the Duke Blue Devils. There's a lot in there.
No doubt. There's been a lot going on, but it's a good busy. You know, as a college football coach, you wouldn't want it any other way. We as a staff, like you said, this is really the first year under Coach Wilson in which we've had the same staff 2 years in a row, and this year produces a bowl game. So we do have that staff continuity. A little easier for us to prepare a practice while being on the road recruiting. So we kind of understand each other and know the schemes that we're going to see. But there is a lot going on. It's a great time, though. Just we're excited. The kids are working hard, and we're looking forward to this game.
Well, we'll talk a little about the Duke Blue Devils in a second, but we've got to go back to talking about our kids and what they're made of. And Kevin Johns and Ryan Nora joining us, the offensive defensive coordinators for Kevin Wilson, talking bowl football here, the new era pinstripe bowl with the Duke Blue Devils on December 26th. Hey, Kevin, I mean, Brian, we go back to the Maryland game, and early on, things not going our way, knowing we had to really win out to be even bowl eligible, and talk a little about what you saw in the defensive fight, and that carried through to what is sitting in front of us, and that is that prize possession, the old oaken bucket.
Well, I think Kevin mentioned it earlier, resiliency, and after starting out, giving up 21 points, and I think the biggest thing was our offense came back and responded right away. We got an onside kick, and just the momentum that was set, our guys turned around and really played as well as we played all year the last 50 minutes of the game.
What have you seen from the defensive side? And before we talk back and talk offense with Kevin Bryant, talk a little about the improvement that you did see. And we're talking about an interior front that really, really played well together. Linebackers, well, yes, we have a young secondary on the job training. That's just part of the price that you have to pay sometimes. But that being said, collectively, you got to feel pretty good where this defense is going into this 13th game.
Well, it's exciting to see. We knew our front was going to be the strength of our defense, and really down the stretch they carried us. Nick Mangieri, Zach Shaw, Darius Latham were very physical the Purdue game. I think we had registered 6 sacks and just continued to put pressure on the quarterback, and even against Maryland didn't get a lot of production sacks-wise, but just the pressure they put on the quarterback, I think, makes it a lot easier for our young secondary.
We had 12 honorees, a school record, by the way, that across the board, offensively, defensively, recognized as well. Griffin Oaks, our outstanding place kicker. And, you know, Kevin, we talk a little about the offense, but let's get back up to the guys in the trenches and what a week it has been. What an outstanding 2 careers that we have seen from Jason Spriggs and Dan Feeney, who have helped anchor that interior front.
Absolutely incredible. And again, like Coach Norr said, we on offense knew that up front that was going to be our strength as well, along with having Nate Sudfeld at quarterback. But we really needed those guys we needed to be able to lean on them, you know, and our offense is always going to be based on having balance. And we need to be able to run the football equally as well as we're going to throw the football. And pass protection is a big part of that. You know, we are number one in the Big Ten in fewest sacks allowed. We're number one in total offense, number 2 in rushing offense. So, you know, we can talk about Sudfeld and all his stats and Jordan Howard, but, man, at the end of the day, it starts with those big guys up front. So proud to see what Jason Spriggs has gone through, being a 4-year starter for us. Dan Feeney, I mean, just those guys have worked so hard. Coach Greg Fry's just done a phenomenal job with the development of the offensive line. They have a tremendous amount of pride in how they go about their work, how they play on game day. And like I said, it shows, and we're very very thankful that we got those guys.
You know, you talk about it, and Coach Fry was mentioning it the other day when he and both kids were in the basketball media press room. Jason Spriggs, he's 21 years old. He's been at left side tackle or in that interior line playing that since he's been 17 years old out of Concord High School. I mean, that's almost unheard of, but that just shows you the work ethic. And then there isn't anyone. He missed 1 year, Dan Feeney, with an injury.
Yep.
But the way he carries himself off the football field into that weight room, and how many players look up to that young man?
There's no doubt. You know, if you could start a team and pick anyone you wanted, I think I would pick those two guys. And Spriggs, from an athletic ability standpoint, from his experience, Dan Feeney, just from his work ethic, his passion, desire to win. You know, those guys do such a phenomenal job, you know, not only in development and working hard in the weight room, but when I say they take pride in this program, those are the two guys who want to host a recruit. When new guys come in, they want to keep this thing going. It's personal to them. They take a great deal of pride in it. Again, it starts with Greg Fry and what he does in his meeting room and the mindset that he creates with those guys. But I just think I can't say enough good things about them, and they mean so much to me because they've fought for this team and this program for so long. And it's exciting to see them get the rewards that they deserve.
Well, and you've had other pieces as well. Jordan Howard, he got injured, but what an impact he had. Teams that lose quality guys like a Tevin Coleman, productivity drops off a bit. You mentioned a good blend offensively, defensively, pass and run with the Hoosier offense. But the job that Howard has done, and the influence he had with the other backs that you've developed here.
Yeah, Jordan's been incredible this season, and really, I've never seen anything like it, that every time he gets hit, he always falls forward. So he could get hit at the line of scrimmage, he's going to find a way to gain 2 yards, and that's just a tremendous knack that he has. Very durable, he's a big guy, he's a lot faster than you think once you get him in the open field. So we're extremely blessed that Jordan came to us this year. But like you said, with what Divine Redding, with Mike Majette, Andrew Wilson, some of those other guys that have stepped up as well, it's, again, credit to Coach Dylan McCullough. But then those running backs, again, just continuing to build on that culture that we've created.
Well, and you've had a couple of receivers, Garner, All Big Ten mentioned as well, Simi Cobbs on the outside, and a young guy. Hey, don't look at the fact that he's a little guy, because he'll flat burn you. He returns punts for us. He run through a brick wall. We're talking about Mitchell Page. Those two guys have been, they have one word in common. They're excitable.
They are. Don't forget that Mitchell Page is a scratch golfer, and he could score about 30 points a game in basketball. So he's just an incredible athlete. And again, the year that he, Simi Cobbs, Ricky Jones, those guys, you know, I think when this year started, our leading receiver coming back was going to be Jayshon Harris with about 7 or 8 catches. And so when you look at Ricky and Simi and Mitchell Page, what those kids have done, I don't know that anyone really expected them to have the year that they've had, except us. I mean, I think we knew what we were capable of doing. But again, it's a credit to those kids, the hard work that they put in, the chemistry that they developed with Nate Sudfeld. So proud of what they've done. We got to find a way to win one more.
Well, I tell you, and a great story involving Michael Cooper. Here's a young man that transferred in, and here's a senior that garnered honorable mention All Big Ten at that tight end spot. And that position was, it just added more fuel to the fire offensively, Kevin.
It has, and I tell you, I know that everyone wants to talk about Dan Feeney and Spriggs and Sudfeld. And
he can block,
can he? Jordan Howard. I'm telling you what, the last couple weeks of our season, Michael Cooper's our MVP, because we lost Anthony Cassaro to an injury. We lost Jordan Fuchs to an injury. Coop was the only one with a lot of experience that we had, only one we had left. And not only that, he had a bad ankle. And so he really gutted through, almost playing on one foot those last couple weeks. So very proud of him, proud of his fight. It just refused to give up. But, you know, we kind of joke him because we would not consider him a down-the-field vertical threat. But the number of big-time catches that he's made this year and the yards that he's gained in receiving has been a lot more than any of us expected. But proud of what that young man's done. You could tell just looking in his eye, this is very important to him, and he's working very hard at it every day.
Well, you got another guy, too, that has taken the snaps from Jake Reed and all season long, and that's been number 7, Nate Sudfeld. And, I can't throw enough superlatives out his way, just in his being a great young man, let alone his football total awareness on the field and the impact that he's had, Kevin, to your offense and to this football program.
And I think you summed it up. I don't know that I can either. You know, as coaches, you ask Coach Knorr, he'll say the same thing. All we want are kids that really care about what happens. We want kids who are invested, who winning football games and doing well is important to them. And, man, Nate Sudfeld, there hasn't been another guy who's worked any harder in the offseason of film study, of developing chemistry with his receivers, of stepping up into a leadership role, along with doing all the voluntary activities that he does and organizations of when he gives his own time. But extremely proud of him. He's a smart young man. He's going to have a great career in the NFL. Leaving here, being one of the all-time best that's ever put on a helmet here at this school. And, again, he's responsible for a lot of the wins that this program's ever had, and we're all indebted to him, and we need him to go out and play well one more time.
Hey, Brian, I was going to ask you, Brian Knorr joining us, defensive coordinator, along with Kevin Johns, offensive coordinator. I wanted to ask you, are we getting any of the walking wounded back? I mean, especially you've taken some shots, too, on the defensive side of the ball. We'll get and ask Kevin the same question here, but how's things are we getting some of the wounded maybe healthy for a number 13?
I think what we have been able to do is some of our guys that have been banged up, maybe play our linebacker core. T-Gray Scales, Marcus Oliver, and T.J. Simmons were all banged up playing on, oftentimes limping out there, and they've been able to get healthy. Last week was a great week for our guys that have played a lot of football to get back, get healthy, and I think we'll have a lot of guys. Dick Mangieri was banged up. Zach Shaw, they'll be healthy by the time game time.
Kevin, how about you on the offensive side of the ball?
We're doing everything we can do. You know, we guys are in the cold tubs. They're rehabbing. Yeah. They've been doing it for a couple weeks. So I don't know that we're there yet. But we also don't play tomorrow, so we have some more time to
exactly.
continue to get guys back. But I promise they're doing everything they can do to get back on the field.
Are the families, guys, excited about? Are you taking the entire Johns crew out to NYC?
We're going
to
take them all. They're extremely excited. This will be our first trip to the big city, and we're looking forward to some good weather, good sightseeing, if you will, and a fun game.
Well, there's going to be a lot outlined there for the families and the team. How about your family, Brian? You
Absolutely.
Excited, huh?
Absolutely. My daughter, who's sophomore at Chapel Hill, doesn't like the Dukies either.
I bet she doesn't. So, well, mentioning the Dukies before we leave you two, and again, we thank you for both coming in and sharing some thoughts with us tonight as we get set to go to New York City to play this bowl. Let's look at the defensive keys. Against an offense that, like ours, could put Brian points on the board.
Well, I think this is a very similar offense to us, and it all centers around their quarterback. Their quarterback's a big physical guy, much like Nate, and he's also their lead rusher. So we obviously have to be well aware of him, be option responsible. And from a young standpoint, they got young backs that are explosive if you let them get out. And I think this will be a crew that will be very similar to some of the teams we have in the Big Ten. It's going to be very good up front, and that's where challenge for us. We got to match them up front.
Kevin, any similarities to any teams that we've played in the Big Ten as you look at the defense and some of the offensive keys that need to be taken care of a week from Saturday?
There's no doubt. You know, I would compare them, honestly, to probably half the teams that we've played in the Big Ten, in which they are going to be a very disciplined, what we would call quarters coverage defense. They're very good at having their eyes in the right spot. Their linebackers are great. They have an All-American outside linebacker, makes all kinds of plays for them. So they do a great job of changing up the looks to keep defenses off balance, our offenses off balance. They're going to bring a lot of pressure. They're going to provide a tremendous challenge for us. Looking forward to it. For us, a lot of times when you go from playing your last regular season game to playing a bowl game, you sort of have a chance to get rusty. So for us, we need to make sure we take care of the football. Tremendous center quarterback exchange, running back exchanges, wide receivers catching the ball, just little base fundamentals that sometimes can get a little rusty in that break that you take from when you play your last game to when you play the bowl game. That if we focus on ourselves, take care of the football, then we're going to try to play as fast as we can and score as many points as we can.
And that's the bottom line. It's great to play 13, but it's even better to go out, and our plan is simple. Win it.
No,
win 13. Hey, guys, thanks for coming in, and we'll see you in New York next
week.
Thank you, Joe. Safe travels. Happy holidays. Kevin Johns, offensive coordinator, along with Brian Knorr, our defensive coordinator. Football Hoosiers headed to the Big Apple to take on the Duke Blue Devils. It'll be on the big screen here at Yogi's December 26th, ABC at 3:30. Back to close things out, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Now wrapping up things, and again, the best to Kevin Wilson and the entire Hoosier football program, and obviously our thanks to Kevin Johns and Brian Knorr for their comments, as well as Fred Glass. We'll keep you posted from New York next week. Our employee of the week at the Shortstop Barbecue Train, Seth Sanders. Don't forget, in the zone, Dave and Glass, your phone calls at 6. Little NFL football, Tampa Bay, St. Louis on Thursday. Terre Haute North and South will be out on the home score for the first time this year at 7 o'clock on Friday. IU Notre Dame on the big screen here. Bankers Life Fieldhouse, 2 o'clock on ESPN. Colts on the airwaves against Houston on Sunday. Happy holidays, everyone. We'll see you 2016. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1, AM 1370, WGCL. Good night, everyone, from Yogi's Grill and Bar.